Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you. Today, we're continuing a series here on the podcast that we've titled What Is, where we're looking to explore words or phrases that you often find in contemplative circles, but you may not exactly know what they mean. And so we're actually wrapping up our series today with the topic, What is pilgrimage? And I probably first came across this word of pilgrimage in a world religions class where I was learning about Muslims, and one of the tenets of their faith is a pilgrimage to their holy city of Mecca. And as part of this world religion class, we took a trip to Tunisia during Ramadan, which is another one of their kind of holy months where they do fasting. And we had gone to this place where, evidently, as we were talking to some locals, seven trips to this particular city in Tunisia equaled one trip to Mecca. And I was like, wow, that's like really interesting. And they said, yeah, like we have these other cities where if you don't have the means or the ability to go to Mecca, there's these other kind of local places where you can go more frequently and have a similar experience type of a thing, which I thought was fascinating. And so, again, besides the fact of the story in the New Testament where Jesus is going to Jerusalem when he's 12 and gets lost in the caravan and his parents are trying to find him, they were taking a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I have a friend that in recent years did like a Catholic, I think, pilgrimage in Spain and went down the Stations of the Cross type of a thing. Besides that, this has been a newer concept for me, this idea of pilgrimage. But even as I've sat with this idea and explored it, there's all sorts of pilgrimages. There's nature pilgrimages where different cultures or communities will maybe take out young people into the forest or into the woods to learn survival mechanisms or as a way to disengage with nature on a new way. There's all sorts of coming of age type of pilgrimages that you can do where there's something significant about we're going to take a special trip back to our homeland or something like that. And so when I began to expand my definition of pilgrimage, there's a quote by John Michael Talbot that I thought was really helpful. And it says, pilgrimage is a journey of the soul, not of the body. It is a journey of transformation, not of tourism. And I thought, I like that because I think we can go somewhere as a tourist and want to experience the culture or whatnot, but there's something about a pilgrimage and we can make it our own, right? We can go somewhere fancy and new and across the seas, or we can go down the street to a local place, and that could be a pilgrimage for us. So I liked his broadening definition, but the point isn't so much looking at it with tourism eyes, but more of like the eyes of our soul. And what is this particular holy place or experience, this sacredness, going to do for me? And so with that in mind, I'll just kick off the conversation and what comes up for the two of you when we think about the idea of pilgrimage.
Well, I think these are all helpful examples and a great quote, because pilgrimage can sound really overwhelming, especially if you were to ask, do I have the means? So I think it's great that even within the Islam tradition, there's ways for that to be worked out. Means is a big question, but to take it to that smaller level, sometimes I was recently invited into a Shabbat service with some friends of mine, and it was really fascinating. We walked down to the lake, so we were by Lake Michigan, and I don't spend a lot of time by Lake Michigan, so maybe this will not be a surprise to so many people that maybe have more experience with it, but I have lived by the ocean, and there's like these crashing waves coming up and over the rocks, and it's loud. It's like the ocean, at least right where we were. So I don't know if that's universally true of the lake, but we walked down in silence to the lake, and there was some singing, and then there was some time just to be. And then people were sharing a little bit about what was coming alive, what metaphors existed. And so for some people, it was like the metaphor was in where the sky and the water met and what that was meaning to them, or something that was emerging in a rock because of the way the water had maybe dried or wasn't yet dry, and the way the tree roots pull up out of the ground near the shore. But there was all of this coming alive in metaphor. And then we walked back and lit candles and had a small meal together. Yeah, that is a very small mini pilgrimage, if we think about it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't know that I knew that about the Islamic faith, that like going to one place X amount of times would equal. But what it makes me think of is the idea of thin places, like where there's a place that exists where the veil between heaven and earth is a little bit thinner. And the, I guess you could say, access to the divine is probably different than your commonplace. And so I find that to be a super interesting notion. I think I've taken a pilgrimage unknowingly. There's a place in Wisconsin. It's a church where they've prayed for 140 years. And so I went and did the tour of this place and had that type of experience where there was there was something physically happening to me in my, not just my body, but my soul. It's, oh my gosh, this is quite the experience. Like the prayers that have been prayed here for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 140 years, just to be a part of that and join in that, as well as the millions of other people that have experienced that as well. So I think I'm not alone in this aspect. There are many other people that are doing this. I'm not a solo pilgrim, but there are many pilgrims that are having this type of experience. I think those are the aspects that come to mind for me in this idea of pilgrimage.
Yeah, I appreciate you naming kind of the collectiveness of the spirit, if you will, of, again, both of your examples that you shared. And I'm not Muslim, so hopefully I'm doing justice to what I learned in this class, but I actually appreciated the idea of going back to a place multiple times. At first, I thought, wow, that seems excessive that you have to go 7 times to this to equal one Mecca. But thinking back of, I think I've had some pilgrimage type experiences in high school. So I actually had a friend of mine who I think would call herself first atheist and then maybe move to agnosticism. But she knew that I was a spiritual person. And so she wanted to take me to this old cathedral in St. Louis that I had never been to, because she said, I think you really like it. And it kind of brings me a sense of peace. And so I went with her and we just sat in silence in this beautiful big cathedral in the middle of a afternoon with the beautiful stained glass, and just being there was really holy and wonderful. And I think especially experiencing it with my friend, who somehow she felt a sense of peace there. And so this became a sanctuary for me. And so multiple times in high school, I would go drive downtown to this particular church and just sit, because it was one of those spaces that was at the time open all the time for people to just come and sit and pray. And gosh, I don't know, several years ago, my family we were in town for Christmas. And so I'm like, oh, let's go to the mass at the cathedral and experience that. And I remember my oldest daughter in particular, again, had that same feeling that I had in high school of just this sense of peace and this bigness and the collective spirit that was there in that place. And so I appreciated not only in high school experiencing that, but then bringing my kid who was a similar age as me during that time and watching their experience as well. And so I think there's something to be said about repetitiveness in some of the pilgrimages. And also, I think I'm a journeyer at heart, and the idea of pilgrimage I love, and adventure and going places. And so I have a desire to try new things as well as the repetitive things is part of my journey as well. But I love this also, this quote by Wayne Teasdale, where he says, pilgrimage is not a journey to a place, but to a new way of seeing. And so I think that, again, my tendency is I want to go to the new, the exciting, the fresh. And certainly there's a place for that. And I want that. I want to tend to that because that's part of my personality. But also that it's not a journey to a place, but to a new way of seeing. And I think there's something about that repetition that anything can become a pilgrimage. Again, I think, I don't know, in high school, I was much, I don't know, in those angsty teen spaces where I needed more perspective or whatever. But sometimes too, like there was a cemetery right by my house and I would just go sit in the cemetery too and just be mindful of all of these people that have gone before me, and sometimes looking at some of their tombstones. And there was a couple ones that just had like really neat inscriptions. And there was just, again, just something about kind of the brevity of life and sitting in those spaces, which can sound morbid, but there was something special about that. So again, that repetitiveness seems to be really important.
I love all of these things that you're bringing forward. There's so much to chew on. Yeah, I agree with you. There's something that seems to come alive when we make these trips. And it's funny what comes alive and why, and it's probably not always the same. But some pilgrimages, you journey to a place where someone walked before you. So this could be like a trip to Jerusalem. It could be like a trip to where your ancestors are from, but someone that came before you. And so we often talk about connection. What are we connected to? Are we connected to something that's like now, that's something that feels like it's like spirit world, something that feels like, oh, you were here, I'm here, we are somehow here together. And this seems to come out even in the elements, like this air that has been breathed by so many, or this water that has traveled around the globe so many times. What are we connected to? And really, it's again that opening of our awareness to it, because I also journey to our kids' school multiple times, and I don't ever think about the spiritual nature of it, but it could be a spiritual practice in its own right. But sometimes we recognize that I am opening here and connecting somehow.
I've been thinking about the juxtaposition of the word pilgrimage and exile, and I think they can do the same thing. I think it being a journey of the soul, I think exile is often a journey of the soul, pilgrimage, but I think it's the state in which the heart is, in which you enter into it. I think pilgrimage is something that we are cheerful about going on a journey, right? We set off with optimism, where exile is something that we're forced into. I think they both accomplish the same thing, but I think the transformation that happens in the heart, the transformation that happens in our seeing the world is the same. But I find myself thinking about these two words, pilgrimage and exile. And I think exile, someone can start out in exile and it turn out to be a pilgrimage. And it could, there's this heart change in the middle of it that can happen. And the joy that one would experience on a pilgrimage then is interacted with in a way that wasn't interacted with before. And so I think that's something that comes to mind.
Yeah, that makes me think of when I was 13, my family, and I wouldn't have used the term back then, but in this context, I think it's definitely relevant, took a pilgrimage to Greece. And so my father was born and raised in Greece and experienced extreme poverty in his upbringing, and so had an opportunity to come to America and never went back to Greece. There was just a lot of pain and suffering and hardship there. And I think there was just something in him that wanted to put that behind and build a life here. But when we were 13, my dad decided that he actually wanted to take all of us back to Greece to visit his homeland and to see it. And so I think for him, it was very much a pilgrimage of kind of returning and being able to share that with us. And I think for me, hearing the stories of my dad's upbringing and thinking, oh, that's exaggerated, and then going to his village and seeing where he lived and experiencing that. And again, in the context of a 13-year-old, I think I was thinking of it more like a tourism thing. But then later on in my 20s, actually wanted to go back to Greece again with fresh eyes to see. And I brought a friend of mine there and experiencing that. And then I think now that I am married and with children, I want to bring my kids there as well, just to reiterate our roots and our heritage and where we've come from. And so it's interesting because I think for my dad, your idea of pilgrimage exile, not that he was necessarily exiled from the country, but there was hardship. And so he left on a note of, I want you to get out of here. And it was choice. It wasn't force, which I think is different. There were forceful circumstances in his younger childhood with Nazis coming and taking over his village that did cause a lot of the pain and sorrow. But then to come back as pilgrimage and to almost redeem some of those things and to really be proud of the heritage and the culture. And that's interesting what you're saying about those two pieces fitting together.
As we talk, I feel mindful of, we've talked a lot about these amazing things that happen when we're on pilgrimage. And I can wonder, does anybody ever intend to go on a pilgrimage and feel like that was just the most normal, non-mystical experience that I've had? Because do we build it up? Do we have some sort of expectation? And does our expectation sometimes create a scenario for us? Which makes me wonder, sometimes do we understand meaning in hindsight even more than we understood in the moment? Or is the moment spiritual enough without anything extra? Which I feel sensitive to, because I think I've sat in a lot of circles where there was an expectation for something so big. And what happens if what happened was I kissed the wall, or I heard the birds chirp, or I saw the mountain where possibly someone else walked, and that was just truth? And do I take a picture? Do I come back to that picture? Or is the moment enough just as it is? I don't know. I just put it out there, because we often talk about the mystical as big, but can it also have ordinary elements?
Yeah. And I just am reminded back to that quote earlier on that pilgrimage is a journey of the soul, not of the body. It's a journey of transformation. And I think that's part of the journey is you have the experience, but then even the leading up to it and the afterwards, right? So even like preparing for a normal trip, there's the anticipation of the trip, preparing for it, there's the going on the trip, and then there's the after the trip, looking at the pictures, sharing the stories. And it's almost, and I've had this experience where the aftermath of the trip and talking about it almost takes a life of its own, and it can almost be bigger than the moment itself, or having some space from it really brings it into a new light. And so I think I appreciate that, again, and what I'm hearing from some of these quotes, it's not just a one and done thing, but there's a journey, and that's a piece of the journey that keeps living on, is at least my experience or my take on that.
I don't know. I pose that maybe there is some bodily moving from one location to another, right? Taking yourself out of your ordinary world into a different world. I think that could be extremely beneficial to the process. I think when we're in the ordinary, we're in routine. And what pilgrimage is signifying is we're leaving our routine and we're engaging in something new. And so that's what comes to me.
Thank you for saying that. I think that's an important clarification that there is something of effort, whether it's across the seas or across town or whatever. And there is an intention to that, a preparation, a something different to that. So I do think that's important to highlight. Well, thank you so much for some of the thoughts today around pilgrimage and maybe ways that we can explore both big and small. And now is the part of our podcast where we talk about what we are into. So what are we into?
So I recently discovered a number of Zoom reactions, like two big thumbs up that you hold for a while creates fireworks, and making that little heart symbol with your hands creates hearts on the screen. And I am so into it. They're a little distracting because they take a minute to happen. So it's like the heart was already communicated, but it has added an element of fun to my life that cannot be ignored.
Well, speaking of pilgrimage, I am into planning a trip to Panama. If you've listened to our podcast, you probably know that we have hosted international students over the years, and we have had several from Panama. And I've been into like frequent flyer miles and travel hacks. And so ended up finding being able to cash in miles to go and take my two older kids to Panama. So we're going probably by the time this podcast airs, we will have gone, and really excited. And from a pilgrim, yes, definitely exposing my kids to different cultures, but as a pilgrim experience as well, of being out of our own country and our own experiences and being able to see how other people live in different parts of the world. So I am into researching lots of things related to the country of Panama.
Very nice. I am glad that you are going to be going to Panama, and I will be holding the fort down here. Something I probably am into this time of year, and maybe I've mentioned it before, but this is the time of the year where I bust out my electric guitar, and I've really been into some tones and frequencies and delays. So I've been playing my electric guitar here recently and enjoy trying to take some of the pieces that I've been learning on the acoustic and adding them to the electric. Because number one, you can move through the movements quicker on the electric guitar because the strings are a lot easier to press down and the fingering is easier, but also just adding some delay or adding some reverb to the pieces that I've been working out on my acoustic has been a lot of fun and joyful and life-giving.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, make it a great week.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.